Hello and welcome to this edition of Total Health with Dr. Cage. This is my podcast where I explore all aspects of health, wellness, and human consciousness. Now, to the greatest extent possible, I focus on health, not disease, because our mind, our body follow wherever we place our conscious thoughts. I'm Dr. Arlen Cage. I'm a naturopathic physician, and I'm trained in multiple systems of natural healing. And just this month, a few days ago, the international media has been astounded by the supposedly shocking decision by the International Agency for Research on Cancer, the IARC, which is the World Health Organization's research arm, the decision to list aspartame as a possible cause of cancer. Just in case you are unaware, aspartame is the chemical name for the active ingredient in many artificial low-calorie sweeteners, including Equal and NutraSweet. If you have followed the world of natural health news at all over the last few decades, you will know that the only thing shocking about this subject is that a major World Health Organization has finally admitted that aspartame causes cancer, something that was actually well documented before it was ever approved for use in the 1970s. So today I'll be talking about all the details of aspartame's history and the many other health conditions it can cause in addition to cancer, and why this recent announcement was not a surprise to anyone in the natural health community. So as a quick reminder for all of you who are my listeners, I have a promotion for the month of July as a way of celebrating Independence Day and your health freedom. If you go to my website, drcagesays.org, and send me an email message from the contact page that includes the words Total Pod, you'll receive a 15% discount off my published price for any course, video, or consultation I currently have on my website. It does not apply to things where I can't control the price, such as my links to Amazon for books or my Patreon page. It includes everything else, and this offer will be good through the end of July 2023. So let's begin. I first saw this recent news about aspartame as it was reported by the BBC. I thought, well, that's long overdue. So to help you understand why that's the case, to understand the political, social, and medical significance of this acknowledgement that aspartame is very dangerous, I'm going to review the history of just where this substance called aspartame actually came from. Aspartame, as I said, is the ingredient in many low-calorie sweeteners. But the history of how this substance came to be approved for use is a very curious story. Aspartame was first approved for human consumption by the FDA in 1974, almost 50 years ago. I'll talk more about that approval process a little bit later in this podcast. The compound itself was supposedly discovered in 1965 by James Slater, a chemist with the G.D. Searle Company during tests on an anti-ulcer drug. The story goes that while it wasn't a very good ulcer drug, researchers noted that this substance was extremely sweet. Now, the only problem with that theory is that aspartame was once included on a list of biological warfare agents being tested by the Pentagon. So it would appear in retrospect that the story about ulcer drug research was probably a cover story created after the fact, because I don't think very many people would want to be using it in their morning coffee if they knew it was a biological warfare agent, even if it didn't prove to be very good at killing people quickly. The chemical components in aspartame are important. And I apologize if this ends up being a bit more chemistry than you'd like as you listen to your morning health podcast, but this information is important. The exact chemical name of aspartame is a methyl ester of the dipeptide aspartylphenylalanine. And the components are phenylalanine, which is an amino acid, aspartic acid, another amino acid, and methanol, also known as wood alcohol. So let me talk about each of the ingredients just a bit. First, during the digestion process, aspartame is broken down by releasing the methanol. The methanol and the two amino acids are then absorbed through the GI tract into your bloodstream. So let's take a look at what happens when excess levels of these enter your body. First up is phenylalanine. This is actually a normal substance in our body that is used in the production of hormones and neurotransmitters. It is used to make tyrosine, which is a precursor to thyroxine, one of the main thyroid hormones. And it's also used by our bodies to make a family of neurotransmitters called catecholamines, as well as DOPA, and it's involved in making melanin, a pigment. At excess levels, phenylalanine concentrates in regions of the brain called your hypothalamus, the medulla oblongata, and the corpus striatum. This, in turn, causes levels of serotonin in the brain to decrease, which can lead to mental depression, schizophrenia, and seizures. I've actually seen a number of patients over the years who are suffering from aspartame-induced seizures, which they found they could cause if they accidentally ingested diet sodas. If serotonin deficiencies continue long-term, it can lead to the need for a class of drugs known as SSRIs, such as Prozac, which have their own set of side effects. Next up is aspartic acid, also known as aspartate, which is also normal in our bodies and has uses that include directly being an excitatory neurotransmitter in the brain. It also helps the body make urea and has a few other normal uses. But just as we saw with phenylalanine, however, it is with excess levels of aspartate that we start to see these problems. It begins to accumulate in the brain, and there it will kill neurons, otherwise known as nerve cells, by altering how much calcium enters the cells. That in turn triggers the excess production of free radicals in the brain, which facilitates cell breakdown. So yes, this particular component of aspartame literally kills your brain cells. This brings us to methanol, the third of the major components of aspartame. Methanol is known as wood alcohol, and it has no normal uses in our bodies. It is a poison, pure and simple. Its most well-known negative action in the body is to cause blindness. And according to the EPA, methanol is a cumulative poison because it has such a slow rate of clearance by our bodies. EPA recommends that the maximum limit of consumption is 7.8 milligrams per day. Now, to put that in perspective, 1 liter of artificially sweetened soda contains 56 milligrams of methanol. So you divide 56 by 8 and you get 7. If you drink 1/8 of a bottle of soda, you're over the limit of methanol. The risk of blindness, of course, is probably the worst and major side effect of methanol, but there are more. Methanol has been known to cause headaches, dizziness, nausea, blurred vision, loss of the visual field, kind of a less extreme example of blindness. It can damage the retina. It causes numbness and pain in the extremities. Now, as bad as all that is, the really bad effects of methanol don't stop there. When methanol is eventually broken down by our bodies, it is converted into two other substances. The first is formic acid, the other formaldehyde. Formic acid is better known as ant venom. If you were ever bitten by ants, it is formic acid that causes all that painful burning and stinging. Formaldehyde, of course, is that nasty smelling preservative that's used to preserve all those frogs we had to dissect back in high school biology class. It's also an ingredient in many home building construction materials, including plywood, particle board, linoleum, and carpets, which can outgas or give off formaldehyde into your interior home environment, causing illness. And that's a whole other story for another day. When it enters our body, formaldehyde itself is a deadly neurotoxin and can cause damage to the retina, interfere with DNA replication. It can cause birth defects and is a known carcinogen. Carcinogen is anything that is known to cause cancer. More bad news about methanol is that when beverages such as diet sodas are stored at temperatures above 86 degrees Fahrenheit or a moderately warm summer day, the methanol molecule will split off without needing to be digested in our GI tracts. Now that results in a higher rate of absorption of methanol into our bodies when you drink it. So you're probably thinking at this point, wow, aspartame can't possibly get any worse, right? But wait, there's more. What's more is that there is a byproduct of aspartame metabolism called diketopiperazine or DKP. DKP can also form when aspartame sweetened beverages are stored for long periods of time. DKP has been implicated in the occurrence of brain tumors. And when it's bound to nitrogen in the GI tract, it has a structure very similar to a substance called N-nitrosourea, which is another brain-causing chemical. DKP has been implicated as a cause of uterine polyps and changes, bad changes in blood cholesterol levels. So that was a long list of details of what aspartame's main ingredients can do in the body. So now, what I'm going to do is list a lot of the very specific systems aspartame has been known to cause, kind of as a summary of the ill effects of aspartame. In our neurological systems or in the nervous system, headaches, depression, brain tumors, slurred speech, dizziness, irritability, emotional disorders, vertigo, epilepsy and seizures, insomnia, anxiety attacks, and memory loss. In our sensory systems, blurred vision, hearing loss, blindness, loss of taste, sensation, and tinnitus, or ringing in the ears. In our musculoskeletal systems, it can cause numbness, muscle spasms, and joint pain. Our cardiovascular system, we can experience tachycardia, or a fast heart rate, as well as heart palpitations where the heart appears to skip a beat. In our urinary system, it causes urinary burning and urinary frequency. It causes various breathing difficulties in our respiratory system, as well as a few miscellaneous things like weight gain, water retention, fatigue, increased infections, diabetes, increased birth defects, hair loss, skin rashes, and oh yes, death. Another area where aspartame appears to have been a culprit in a very serious health condition is in Gulf War syndrome. Gulf War syndrome is not in the news much anymore. It became well known in the early 1990s. 30 years ago at this point, where some of you listening may not even have been born yet. In the first Gulf War, many of the troops sent to the Persian Gulf came home with weird symptoms of fatigue, neurological problems, and just a complete loss of body functions. It was very serious, and it took a long time for many of them to recover. Many of the symptoms of Gulf War syndrome match those of formaldehyde poisoning. And it is known that the soft drinks provided to the troops were very routinely stored at temperatures way above 86 degrees Fahrenheit, probably above 100 degrees Fahrenheit. Some researchers proposed that aspartame poisoning coupled with the unproven vaccinations all the troops were given, as well as some of the experimental chemical warfare agents that some troops were exposed to by our own government, explain most, if not all, of the Gulf War syndrome symptoms. So if you don't know anything about Gulf War syndrome, I recommend a quick internet search to familiarize yourself with those sorts of symptoms. The symptoms varied widely among individuals, which was used by the government to suggest it wasn't a real syndrome. It just seemed that the only people who had it were the ones who were deployed to the Gulf War and came home and had a lot of problems. So, because of its low-calorie nature, aspartame ended up being used in numerous diet products, such as sodas, and ironically, aspartame has the opposite effect because the way it disrupts neurotransmitters in the brain, it actually causes weight gain. Now, furthermore, there is even evidence to suggest that some of the bad rap given to silicone breast implants may actually have been caused by aspartame. Many of the symptoms of breast implant sufferers are remarkably similar to aspartame side effects. Studies have been done which correlate the high use of diet soft drinks among women who had breast augmentation surgery. The lack of symptoms in some implant recipients might be explained by their lack of use of aspartame. This is not a definitive study. But some of those women may have had unnecessary surgery to remove their implants when all they needed to do was stop using diet sodas. All right, let's go back now and look at some of the politics involved with how aspartame was approved. And there's still a certain percentage of our population, if you're one of them, I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news. The situation, like many, is how did it get approved for use? Surely the government and the FDA would protect us. That's what they're supposed to do, right? They don't always do that. The government has a long track record of placing the general population as well as military personnel at grave unnecessary risk for purposes of experimentation. So the following are just a few of the hundreds of facts available to show that politics and money drove the approval of aspartame illegally. It was originally approved for use on July 26, 1974, 49 years ago now, but objections were filed by a neuroscience researcher named John W. Olney and consumer attorney James Turner in August of 74, along with an FDA investigation of G.D. Searle's research practices, and that put the approval on hold temporarily. What they found was that during the approval process, a number of irregularities arose, such as lab tests were faked, negative findings, such as the death of test animals, were not reported, numerous errors were found in data analysis. For example, in one test, the rate of brain tumor formation was 16 times higher than expected, but was reported as normal. Two U.S. attorneys were assigned to bring fraud charges against G.D. Searle, but they quit at the last minute. They didn't file the charges. They took jobs with the G.D. Searle law firm at big raises, and that allowed the statute of limitations to run out. The FDA's Scientific Board of Inquiry actually recommended that aspartame not be approved. But an FDA commissioner by the name of Dr. Arthur Hull Hayes Jr. overruled them and approved it. And very shortly after that, he left and took a position with G.D. Searle's public relations firm as a senior medical advisor with a salary of $1,000 per day. So in the 1974-75 time frame, $1,000 per day is $365,000 per year. And at today's rate, that would be about $3.5 $1,000 per year. So that's a pretty hefty raise. G.D. Searle, now you might be wondering, why would a company do all this? G.D. Searle company has ties to German companies who supplied chemical weapons to Nazi Germany during World War II. William Searle, former Searle chairman, served in the U.S. Army Chemical Corps during that time, and was involved in testing LSD on U.S. civilians unknowingly. So all of this information is just the tip of the iceberg. If you go out and do any journalistic research whatsoever, you should be able to find all of this data and more. And it all calls into question the true story of aspartame's supposedly accidental discovery. Now, the fact that it was sweet may have been accidental, but it most likely occurred during research on chemical warfare agents, parenthetically, during a time when the U.S. was not supposed to be doing any chemical warfare agent research. Because of its broad scope of symptoms in virtually every body system, ranging from mild to severe between individuals, aspartame pretty much has to be considered in almost every diagnosis a physician makes. Finding out about the consumption of diet soft drinks or other aspartame-containing products, it's used in baked goods for so-called sugar-free products. We have to consider that during every patient intake. I've had patients with many of these symptoms drinking as much as half a dozen sodas per day, and all their symptoms cleared up when the diet sodas were eliminated. So there's basically nothing good about aspartame. If the FDA's existing regulations had been followed, it would never have been approved for human consumption. So with all that as background, we now come back to the original trigger for this podcast that I mentioned right at the beginning today, the IARC's and WHO's recommendation that aspartame be labeled as a quote-unquote possible carcinogen. Now, when you read the articles in the media, the tone is that they're all shocked by this. How could this safe diet soda ingredient be causing problems? Well, all this information was known more than 50 years ago. It was discovered in 65. It was approved by 74. And all this data about these health risks was known at that time. The FDA scientists said, don't approve this for human consumption, but the paid off politicians and attorneys did it anyway. Any journalist who's actually trying to be a journalist and not a propagandist can find out everything I presented in this podcast and a whole lot more with just a tiny amount of research on the internet. Go spend an hour and you will find everything you need to know to confirm everything I've said. So don't believe the attitude of shock that the media is currently selling. Next, if you are drinking diet sodas, please stop. You can find out all this information you need about the health risks of aspartame for yourself. So as always, email me if you have questions about this or any of my podcasts. The easiest way is to just remember my website, www.drcagesays.org. That's doctor spelled drcagesays.org. Use the contact form on my website. And also, if you like my podcast, please go to the actual Podbean page and subscribe so you will get notified of every new episode. In fact, if you don't like my podcast, please go to the podcast Podbean page and subscribe. And so you will be better informed so you can warn all your friends about how bad my podcast is. For those who haven't listened to me much yet, that last part is just some of my geek humor coming through. But seriously, if you like us, please subscribe and you will get notified as soon as each episode is published. In conclusion, you can visit my website to learn about all my products and services. Remember my July special, 15% off when you send me an email with the code words TOTALPOD and finally, once again, stop drinking diet sodas. So until next time, this is Dr. Cage signing off.